the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hands Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Now I'll read you one more verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. The Bible said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down the imagination every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you to be here, dear Lord God, and dear Lord God, how good it's been, and dear Lord God, yesterday, and getting here safely, and dear Lord God, all you've done today, this morning, and dear Lord, your presence and power here in this place, and God, to we see the saints of God overjoyed in their hearts of all the goodness of God. And dear Lord, we've come to the time, dear Lord God, now we're to hear the word of God, and I pray you'd use it, dear Lord God, to help us tonight. That is the desire of my heart, dear Lord God, is to use the word of God to be a help and an encouragement to our heart. And God, we need you so much, dear Lord God. We're so prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Dear Lord, that's what the old song says. And God, that is true about our lives. God, help us, I pray, dear Lord God, to stay true and be all that we possibly can for you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Bible says again here in Joshua chapter 6, the Bible said, the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hands Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. I thought about this city of Jericho. Of course, we know about Jericho as they came out of Egypt. They went across the Red Sea and they were there. In probably about 14 days, they could have been in this place at Jericho 40 years earlier, but they didn't do that, and they messed up, and then they had to walk around the wilderness and be on the longest funeral procession in history. Every single day, somebody was dying. Why? Because God said all the older generation will die off before they ever cross the Jordan River. So it was the longest funeral procession in history. Here they come to this place, and they've crossed the Jordan River, and they're going across, and they come to this place called Jericho. Oftentimes people refer to Canaan's land as heaven. Well, I got sad news for you. Guess what? When I get to heaven, there will be no more battles. Battles will be over. Canaan's land is not heaven. Why? Because the first place when they entered Canaan's land, they came to Jericho, and it was a battle that they were going to have to fight and be in the midst of going into Canaan's land. So I thought about this, conquering our Jericho. I want to look at several thoughts in this text in chapter 6 about Jericho and how it can reflect upon our own life. First of all, I thought about the position of Jericho. Where was Jericho? It was the oldest city in the region. There was not a city in Jericho or in Canaan's land that was older than Jericho. It was an old city, the age of that city. But I thought about the area of the city. It was a key position to defeat, to take over Canaan's land. It had to be Jericho first. Couldn't be any other place. They had to go to Jericho first. Why? It was a key positioning, taking Canaan's land. I've read about Stonewall Jackson studying a war and studying how to attack and all those things. And many times he went back to the plan that Joshua had in taking Canaan's land and used it in teaching man how to defeat the enemy. I thought about the position of Jericho in the age of the city. It was the oldest city. The area of the city was key position for defeating Canaan land. But I thought about the aptitude of this city. It was an important city. Why? It was number one in trade from the north, south, east, and west. It was an important city. Jericho was a very important city. Now I thought about the importance of the city, but I thought about the oppressiveness of the city. Number one in beauty. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse number 4 said it was a city of palm trees, like an oasis in the middle of nowhere. My wife helped me with that. I had mirage. You know what a mirage is? It's an imagination. She said, it ain't imagination. It was a real thing. I said, yeah, that's right. See, your wife can help you. So I thought about it was an impressive city. What? It said it was like the city of palms. Beautiful city. Can you imagine going across the Jordan River, coming up to Jericho, and those big old huge city there, and you have to defeat that city, and you stand back in awe and say, man, this is a beautiful place. You know, I thought in this about the aptitude, the importance of it, and the impressiveness of it, but I thought about the intensity of it. It was number one in strength. The walls of Jericho were 13 feet thick, and they were going to defeat that city. We talked about that in Bible college a long, long time ago when I was in Bible college. We said, the Bible said this, the Bible said, remember when you're studying about the scripture, use the scripture to be able to explain itself. That's the best place to find the answer. But the Bible said this, that the walls fell flat. Well, my question is this, how did they fall flat? Did they fall over? When they sounded that trumpet, the last they went around seven times, did the walls fall over? Well, if the walls fell over, guess what? They would have had 13 feet to go up, over, and go down to be able to defeat that city. Guess what? I don't believe they fell over. I believe they fell in the ground. I believe they was walking around that city, and guess what? They got in the sound of that trumpet, they shouted loud, and guess what? The walls disappeared, shoom, into the ground. And they were face to face with the enemy, and the Bible said they slaughtered everything in that city. The Bible says this, the walls fell flat. I believe with all my heart that's where they went. So I thought about the position of this city, a key position of this city. But then I thought about the prospect of Jericho. The prospect of Jericho is found here in verse number 6, or chapter 6 and verse number 2. The Bible said this, and the Lord said unto Joshua, I see I have given into thy hands Jericho. Who said that? The Lord. I thought about the prospect of Jericho. What? It had to be completely defeated. Complete defeat was necessary. It had to be done this way. And Joshua came into that city or came into this area and realized that it had to be completely defeated. Jericho had to be annihilated. As a matter of fact, so annihilated, God said this, or Jericho said this, any man that builds back Jericho, the curse of God will be upon his two sons. Complete annihilation. A complete defeat was necessary. But number two, I thought about this. A complete deference was necessary. Chapter 6 and verse number 19, the Bible said this. The Bible said, and all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Not only had it to be a complete defeat, everybody had to die. Men, women, children, cattle, everything. Everything had to die. But there must be a complete deference. What? Nothing could be taken. Not one item could be taken. No way you could pick it up and put it in your pocket. Somebody did that. Somebody did that. And when they got to the next city, they got defeated. Why? Because one man sinned and took something he shouldn't have took. In this thing, why was that so important? Because God wanted no remembrance of Jericho ever again. It was to be completely annihilated. Complete defeat was necessary. Complete deference was necessary. Complete dedication was necessary. The Bible said in chapter 6 and verse number 3 and 4, the Bible said, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of the ram's horn. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpet. And it shall come to pass, verse 5, and it shall come to pass that when they have made the long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the walls of the city shall fall flat. and the people shall send upon every man straight before him. Not only had to be a complete defeat and a complete deference, it had to be a complete dedication. They had to follow the plan exactly as God said. And I ask this question, why doesn't the people of God do that? I mean, we read our Bibles every morning in our devotion, and we read there that we shouldn't do this or we should do this, and we just kind of ignore it, and we'll get to that again next year. When we come back around and begin to read Genesis again, we'll get back to that next year. Why don't we just go ahead and do what God says, and God will bless us for it every single time. God will bless us for it. God said this, you've got to do it exactly like I tell you to do it. I want you to walk around that city six times. Once for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, I want you to walk around it seven times. And then I want you to blow a trumpet. And I want you to shout. And he said, when you do that, the walls will fall flat. Guess what? The walls fell flat. Why? Because they obeyed God's word to a T. I think about the position of Jericho. I think about the prospect of Jericho, but I think about the preparation for Jericho. What did they do before they ever got to there? What was the preparation for this attack? It really wasn't an attack. God was going to do everything, but it was an attack because they did have to defeat the city. What were they doing before they ever got there? If you look back in chapter 5, the Bible said this in verse number 2 of chapter 5. The Bible said, and at that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. One of the things that they did before they ever got to Jericho was there was a place of identification. They had to remember who they were. See, they've come out of Egypt. They don't remember who they were when they were in Egypt. And God delivered them with a strong arm, 10 plagues, and God delivered them out. And now for 40 years, they've wandered around the wilderness, God providing food day in and day out, water. How much food was that? It wasn't a Cracker Jack's box full. It was train loads. We're talking about 2 to 3 million people in the wilderness not having a Dollar General anywhere close. Train loads of food was supplied every single day for 40 years. God supplied it. But now they're going to cross the Jordan River and they're going to attack a city. The first thing they have to do is they have to have a place of identification. Circumcision was an Abrahamic covenant in the fact of who they were. They were Jews. In attacking this city, they must realize who the enemy was and who they were. There was an identification. But number two, I thought about this. Not only was there an identification, but there was a reflection. Look at chapter 5, verse number 11. And the Bible said, and they did eat of the old corn of the land, and on the morrow, and after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the self same day. The Bible said this, they performed the Passover. So there first of all was an identification. They had to realize who they were. But then there was a reflection of what God had already done. What did God do? God brought the Passover while he was delivering them from Egypt and getting them out. And how'd that all happen? It happened under the blood. There was a reflection of what's happened in the past that helped them to be able to defeat this city. First of all, there's an identification. They had to realize who they were. Second, there was a reflection. They had to remember what God had done. But then there was a progression. The Bible said in chapter 5, verse number 12. The Bible said, and manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land, and neither had the children of Israel manna any more. And they had to eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Not only was there an identification and a reflection, there was a progression. God was not going to provide for them any longer. They were going to have to do it themselves. It was to get that old mule out the pen and hook up everything and plow for corn. That's the process in which it's called work. Our nations forgot about what work is, but that's what it was. God said this, you're going to have to provide for yourself. So there was an identification who they were. There was a reflection, but there was a progression in that God was no longer going to do those things that he had done in the past. Water out of a rock. That wasn't going to happen no more. You've got to drill a well. But then there was one more thing in the preparation for Jericho. What? Identification, reflection, progression, intervention. Look at chapter 5, verse number 13. And the Bible said this, and seven priests bearing the seven... that's chapter 6. Chapter 5. And it came to pass that when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as the captain of the Lord of hosts am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto thy servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Not only was there identification, they had to realize who they were Jews. There was a reflection. They had to remember what God had done for them in the past. There was a progression. They were going to have to start doing some new things. But there was an intervention. God showed up just before the battle began. The Bible said that the Lord of hosts, that's Jesus Christ, showed up with a sword drawn and ready to go to battle with his people. There was an intervention. It is interesting to me. The Bible said this. Here in Joshua chapter 5, Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, the Bible said God showed up to Moses and he said, remove the shoes off thy feet. But that's not what he told Joshua. He told him to take the shoes off your foot. You say, man, that's a misprint. No, I believe the King James Bible. I believe it's right all the way. What? Moses had to take both shoes off his feet. But Joshua was commanded to do this, take the shoe off your foot. I think it stems from this. Ruth chapter 4, verse number 7 confirms it all, I believe. The Bible says that when Boaz had the opportunity to buy Ruth in the land, the Bible said this. He went to that other person and said this, you are ahead of me, and you have every right to buy all the land in Ruth, and you get Ruth on the way in this package. And he said, I can't do that. I don't want to mar my name. So what did he do? The Bible said he took his shoe off and he gave it to Boaz. What was it? It was a surrender to his right to have Ruth in the land. What is God telling Joshua right here? He simply wanted Joshua to say, I surrender it all to you in this battle and you're going to win. I tell you, that's where we got to get in our life. There has got to be a point of surrender to say, I give up and I'm giving you the whole thing. Why else would he say, take off the shoe off your foot when he told Moses, take the shoes off your feet? I believe that's right. So we saw the position of Jericho, the prospect of Jericho, the preparation for Jericho. And I thought about the plan of Jericho. What was involved in the plan of taking this city, Jericho? Number one, there had to be confidence involved in the plan. The Bible said in chapter 6, verse number 2, the Bible said, the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho. There must be confidence involved in the plan to be able to defeat the city. I can say a U.S. soldier, and he goes to the battlefield, and he's about to crawl out there and get shot at, and he's about to shoot somebody, and all that's going on. Guess what? He has to have complete confidence in what he's doing. Joshua, the same way. And all the people of Israel, as they wandered around that city, they had to have complete confidence in the plan. Not only there must be complete confidence in the plan, involved in the plan, but there must be a course involved in the plan. Chapter 6 and verse number 3, the Bible said, "And ye shall compass the city, all the men of war, round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days." Not only was there confidence, but there was a course involved in the plan. As I said earlier, they had to do it God's way. There was what they were supposed to do every single day. Kind of like this, kind of like reading your Bible. You're supposed to do that every day. You're supposed to have to take some time off of your busy schedule and running and answering the phone and everything that's going on in your life. There is a course to follow. Like reading your Bible. Like your prayer life. There's a course to follow. Like coming to the house of God. God said this, not to forsake the assembling of thyself together as a man or some is, as you see the day approaching. See, there's a course we have to follow. Joshua did too. No, I thought about the confidence was involved in the plan and the course that was involved in the plan, but the consistency that was involved in the plan. The Bible said in chapter 6 and verse number 3 and 4 that they were to compass the city one time for 6 days, and then on the seventh day they were to go around it 7 times. There was a consistency in it. Guess what they had to do? They had to be consistent in what they're doing. Just like all the things I just mentioned, read your Bible, prayer, come into the house of God. There's got to be consistency in it. Why? Because the world's looking at us and they want to see consistency. So we see there's confidence in the plan, the course involved in the plan, the consistency involved in the plan, but then the completeness in the plan. According to chapter 6 and verse number 21, the Bible said this, "And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both men, women, young and old, ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword." They completed the task that God gave them. So we've looked at all this information about Jericho, the position of Jericho, where it was, the prospect of Jericho, the preparation for Jericho, the plan of Jericho. But I want to look at the picture of Jericho. What is Jericho a picture of? Jericho is a picture of our life. As a Christian, Jericho is what I'm going through. The obstacles of furtherance. You know, in my life as a Christian, there are some things in my life that I cannot go any farther until I take care of them. Here is Jericho. It is the first city on my way to be able to conquer Canaan's land. And it is the first obstacle that stands in my way of doing anything else for God. See, I said this about Jericho. It was an ancient problem. It was the oldest city in that region. See, the problem that you've got in your life is an ancient problem. You've come to an altar again and again and again and again about the same problem, but you've never got victory over that problem. It's an ancient problem. Jericho had to be defeated. It was an ancient problem, but they defeated it. Victory is capable. The Bible says this, that we are able through Christ to be able to have victory in our life. You could put a pack of cigarettes here, and 40 years ago that would have been a difficulty for me. Let me tell you how I used to do. I'd go hear my father-in-law preach, and on the way, I knew he was going to preach on cigarettes. I'd roll the window down, sling it out the window, going to the house of God. I'd go to the house of God, I'd go to the altar, say, "God, please, would you please deliver me from them cigarettes?" I'd get out of church, I'd get in my car, drive back, about to stop by the place I threw them out, I'd pull over side the road, I'd dig down in the bushes, try and find if I could find that pack of cigarettes again. The problem is, Brother Sexton, I never got victory over it at that time. But guess what? One day I put them down and said, God, I ain't wanting to do this no more. It looks bad as me or a Christian with a cigarette out my mouth. Guess what? I want to get rid of that in my life. And guess what? It's not a problem. You could put a pack of cigarettes right there. It wouldn't bother me not one bit. Why? I've got victory over that. So it was an ancient problem. But it was an attractive problem. I said, this Jericho was a beautiful city. You know why you got those things in your life you can't get victory on? They look good to you. You can't get victory over them. Why? Because they're attracting to you. You're attracted back to them time and time and time again. It was an ancient problem. It was an attractive problem. But it had to be aggressively permeated. I said this about Jericho. It had to be totally and completely destroyed. If you're battling something, we all battle. This ain't time to beat up on you and let Brother Jeff off. I've got the same kind of issues in my life that you got in your life. But guess what? We've got to get victory in them. And they've got to be completely annihilated out of our life. The picture of Jericho is the optical. It's an obstacles of furtherance. We aren't going to go any farther with our Jericho in the way. You're not. Jericho was defeated, and guess what? They were able to take the whole country. But Jericho had to be defeated first before they went one step farther. No, I thought it was an obstacle for furtherance, but an obligation of our furtherance because of our position. Where we are. Where are you in your Christian life? I'm almost 60 years old. Guess what? One of these days, if the rapture doesn't take place, they're going to roll my old carcass in here, put me up here, and the man of God will get up here behind the pulpit and preach the word all over me, and I'll be gone. My question is this. What are people going to remember me like? Facing my battles of Jericho time and time and time. See, we think this. We think, well, I'm the only one who knows that. No, everybody knows that. I can tell you who does. Your pastor. The Jericho that you can't defeat, guess what? It is evident in your life. The obligation. What is the obligation? Our position, where we are. Who are we? That's the second point. Not only our position, but our people, who we are. I'm a Christian. I am a Christian saved by God's grace. I am a king and priest. I am an heir with Christ. And man, I got this stuff in my life. I need to get it out. Why? So I can serve him and love him like I need to. The obligation of our furtherance, our position, our people, our progress. Where are you going? Forward? Or are you going to stay hung up on the same place? I've crossed the Jordan River and I'm looking at Jericho. Ooh, pretty tough. I don't know how I'm going to defeat it. I tell you how I'm going to defeat it. I'm going to do what God says. And guess what God's going to do? Miraculously push some walls down in the ground and help me defeat the city. Matter of fact, the Bible said when he was there, guess what? He already had his sword drawn. He was ready to fight. We think of this in our life, our Jerichos. We say, man, I got to do this myself. No, you got the Holy Spirit of God within you to help you be able to defeat any situation in your life so you can have victory. If I didn't believe what I was preaching, I'd get out of the business I'm in. What business you in? Heroin addicts, methamphetamines, crack cocaine, liquor. And you want to tell me that I can tell those men that come in my home and they're there in that home and I can tell them you can never have victory over that. They might as well go to the social programs that you pay $80,000 a month to be in. Mine's free. And guess what I believe? I believe you can get total, complete victory. The picture of Jericho, what? The obstacles of furtherance, You're not going to get any farther till you take care of Jericho. The obligation of furtherance, the opportunity of furtherance, the progression to continue. Joshua chapter 24, verse number 13 says this, that all the land was divided. How'd that start? I can tell you how it started. It started at Jericho. They would have never got the whole land defeated and all the people taken all captive and all the people destroyed until they got Jericho taken care of. I think about the progression of this continuance. But then I thought about the people that were converted because of this furtherance. Anybody remember the name Rahab? If they were still standing on the outside of the walls of Jericho, guess what? Rahab would still be on the inside, and she wouldn't get no help at all until those walls fell flat. How many people in our life and the thing that we get hung up, our Jericho in our life, people can't get saved because of the fact we're hung up in Jericho? Rahab the harlot. How about Zacchaeus? Anybody remember the name Zacchaeus? You know where Zacchaeus got saved? Jericho. A wee little man climbed up in a sycamore tree. Guess what? He got victory in his life. Why? Because Jericho got defeated. How about blind Bartimaeus? Anybody remember about old blind Bartimaeus? Guess where blind Bartimaeus was? Jericho. None of these people would have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior unless Jericho was defeated. The progression to continue, the people that were converted, the positive conclusion. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 4 through 18 talks about a school of the prophets. Guess where it was? Jericho. They had never had a school of the prophets to train young men to go out into all the highways and hedges and preach the gospel. Had Jericho not to be defeated. 1 Chronicles chapter 19, verse number 5, King David sent word to his mistreated delegation to remain in Jericho until their beards had grown back out. A place of restoration, a place of help, a place of encouragement. Where was it? Jericho. But none of this would have happened had they not defeated Jericho. It's the same way in our life. Last of all, I'm done, the purpose of Jericho. What is the purpose of Jericho? It is to teach us that complying to God's word is the only way to victory. There's not another answer. See, I've been in this thing just a little while. And guess what? People try everything else except the Bible. And guess what? They fail again and again and again in their life. And then they stand 40 years later and say, man, I wish I'd have listened to the preacher. Problem with that is your son's in jail. Your daughter's a prostitute. You got drugs going in and out of your house. And you say, man, I wish I would have listened. There is no other way except God's way. Amen. The purpose of Jericho, what? It's to teach us to comply to God's word is the only way to victory. Jericho, it teaches us that companionship with Christ will always bring a victory. You don't have to fight the battle by yourself. Jesus was right there just before they went across the river. He's standing there with a sword drawn. He is in you to help you. Jericho. Jericho teaches us that complete victory can be a final victory. Now I ask this question to you Bible students. Was there ever a battle at Jericho again? Was there ever a time in the scripture that Jericho was fought again? No. It happened once and it was done. And they went on. Jericho was never a battle again in the children of Israel's eyes. If you'll get it right, your Jericho in your life, if you'll get it right, guess what? You won't have to fight that battle again. Jericho teaches us a complete victory can be final victory.
Jericho teaches us that a conquered areas do not have to be repeated.
Jericho teaches us that continuation from past battles can be a blessing in future battles. Think about it now. They've gone to Ai. Of course, I understand how Achan sinned and they got all that right. But guess what? They went back to Ai and whooped the devil out of them. Guess what they were thinking in their mind while they were fighting at Ai? Man, we did it at Jericho. God's going to do it again. And when they got to Bethlehem and when they got to Dan and when they got to Bathsheba and when they got all the places they went, guess what was in their mind? Jericho. God gave us victory in Jericho. God can help us again. Jericho. Jericho teaches us that the consequences of others do not have to stop us from continuing. I want to ask this question. Where did Achan's sin take place? Ai? Jericho. Just because Achan didn't want to get it right didn't mean that everybody in the whole tribe of Israel had to fail. They could have victory in their life, though others don't. Guess what? In our life, guess what? There will be people that are not going to follow the word of God. They may be in the house of God. They may worship with us. They may sing the songs of Zion with us. But they are not going to defeat their Jericho, and they're not going any farther. But that don't have to prevent me from going any farther. Now I ask this question. What's your Jericho? What's your Jericho? You've looked at your life maybe over 5 years, maybe over 10 years, maybe over 20 years, maybe over 30 years. You've been to the altar before. And you've tried to give it to God and say, God, would you take my cigarettes? God don't want your cigarettes. He don't smoke. He just wants you to surrender your life to him and say, God, here it is. I'm going to let you handle it. What's your Jericho? Are you still bound the Jericho of your life? You don't have to. Because according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, the Bible said, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Entering Canaan land is not heaven. It is the victorious Christian life. Are you living all that you need to live? Your potential that God has had for you? I do believe this. The Bible says this, that God tells us when we get to the judgment that he makes the statement, we're going to lose rewards. We're going to lose rewards. That means we've already got their rewards. Is that not what it means? I think God already knows. He knows everything. He knows time, eternity. I think God already knows the potential that he had for our life. But we always fall short because our Jericho isn't defeated. And we lose rewards. Why? Because I'm not doing all that I could have done because I couldn't get over my Jericho. It's in my way. Ain't but one way to get it out of the way. God's way.